This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And as you can tune in today to the program, I want to look at passage from Acts that the Church gives us. I'm going to look at Monday's reading. We're Tuesday. I want to look at yesterday's reading and then tie it into today's reading. We see the unfolding of the life and the ministry of the early Christian community. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I took Sunday's reading, which was the summary of really what the shape that was the early Christian community was taking. It's from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostolic instruction, to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. This is the life of the messianic community. This is the kingdom on earth, the sign of the kingdom that Jesus is establishing for the sake of the salvation of the world. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is the king, now seated at the right hand of the Father. Peter said, he's Lord and Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Paul tells us that to this end he died, that he could be both Lord of the dead and of the living. The Father's plan for the salvation of the world is that Jesus established the order of the kingdom and that he, as the king, has all authority over everyone in the realm. And he's also going to bring all those whose hearts are open into the order of the kingdom of God. And those who resist it, Jesus is going to destroy. It's very clear from the teaching of the apostles. And so they understood they were joining the messianic community that was a kind of resistance force in the world, in this kingdom of darkness, that a beachhead was established for the salvation of the world in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the church that he left in this world to be able to carry on and be a sign of the kingdom and be an access point, be the doorway through which human beings could move from darkness to life, could be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. I mean, it's literally what's happening. Jesus is on the throne. Christianity is not primarily about having a religious feeling or a religious experience or exhorting people to be better people or to live a more conscientious moral life. I mean, things like that are part of what it ends up being part of the Christian way of life. But at the end of the day, what it really is making a break from the kingdom of darkness and entering the kingdom of the beloved Son of God through the grace and power of Jesus, through repentance, being united to his victory in baptism. This is why he's the only Savior of the world. We all need to be united to Jesus. That's the Father's plan. He needs to put us to death. The old man in us needs to be put to death. The resistance, the flesh that's in us, or as Scripture calls the body of death, needs to be put to death. This death-directed body, this death-directed existence that I'm under because of the reign of sin and death needs to be destroyed. And it's destroyed in baptism, and it's destroyed by the king who himself destroyed it. I'm united to Christ in baptism, he said. So it's really important. It's worth thinking about. And I'm raised with him now. And he's the one, the Lord of all, has the power to raise me and establish me in his kingdom. And he said the way to live in the kingdom is as a disciple, radically devoted and surrendered to his lordship, and the exercise of his spirit who leads us into an entirely new way of living, to break from the pattern of the world and enter the pattern of the kingdom. And the pattern of the kingdom is in part described here as the devotion to the apostolic teaching, devotion to the teaching of the apostles today, even today, what we get in the scripture, but also the descendants of the apostles. We are to be devoted to the teaching of the bishops and the Holy Father, and those who are in union with the Holy Father, teaching on matters of faith and morals. This is from the Lord, this teaching. The ongoing leadership of the body of Christ on earth, we're meant to be devoted to that teaching and to be in fellowship and communion with one another, to be willing to share our goods with one another, to be generous, to look out for one another, to lay down our lives for one another, to break bread together at homes and to share our food and to share fellowship with each other, but to also to not exempt ourselves from the assembly, to go to receive the body of the Lord, and to commune with our brothers and sisters in the Eucharist, finally, to be devoted to the prayers. The early Christian community went to temple each day to pray, and we're called to go and to pray each day and to pray before the Blessed Sacrament when we can, Eucharistic prayer, as well as our daily prayer, reading scripture and personal prayer in our lives. So that was Sunday's reading. So we see the community. And then as Peter's going to pray, Peter and John, one day they come upon a crippled man at the gate beautiful, the beautiful gate at the temple, who cries out to them and asks them help and healing. And he was begging for money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I give you, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." So Peter said, "What I have, I give you." What did Peter know that he had? He had the presence and power of the Spirit in his life. He knew that he was united to the King, and the King had commissioned him to proclaim the gospel, to set captives free, to perform signs and wonders, to be worked in the name of the Lord. So Peter, in great confidence, looked at the man and commanded him to rise and walk, and he did just that. And then today's reading is the story unfolds of how the leaders in the temple, the religious leaders, were beginning to feel threatened by the apostles because people were listening to their teaching and following them. For example, in the beginning of chapter 4, it says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests," that is the apostles, "the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, annoyed." Now, the leaders came to Peter and John because they were annoyed by them. And now, why were they annoyed? Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Here's the essential message, friends, of the apostles, and what the church today must proclaim: the same message. We're called to live first teaching of Jesus, but then to take that teaching to others. And the starting point and the centerpiece of that teaching is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The church is bringing salvation to a falling and dying world. Now, in many ways, the world doesn't like that idea that the church thinks it's bringing salvation to the world. First of all, many people think they're already saved if salvation is even an issue, or if salvation even is in play. That people don't like the idea that someone's telling them that there's something wrong with their life, that they need something more than what they currently have. So there's a resistance to it. People simply just don't want to believe that the life they're crafting, or I'll just talk about myself. I didn't want to believe that the life I had crafted for myself, the choices I was making for myself, the design I had for my own life, my own idea of reality and God and heaven, hell, whatever it was, I didn't want anyone trying to tell me that my idea was not the right idea and that my idea couldn't, quote unquote, save me. But that's exactly what the apostles preached. And that's what got people very angry. They didn't go out and condemn people. They went out and proclaimed the love and the mercy of God. But the love and mercy of God meant to proclaim and to speak honestly about the diagnosis of the human condition and God's antidote for that problem. The diagnosis of what? I talk often about it on the show. The problem of sin and death. This is at the heart of the fall, of the broken, enslaving condition that every human being is trapped in, whether we want to believe it or not. The sin problem and the death problem have to be taken care of. We need new life. We need an infusion of the indestructible life of the person of Jesus Christ. And God's plan of transferring that life to us is to lead us from death to life. He has to put to death the old nature that's in us that he cannot be united to. The Holy God cannot be united to a sin-sick, God-resistant nature. It needs to be put to death. And it is put to death when we're united, as I said, to the person of Jesus in baptism. And we're raised to new life in Christ. He gives us new life. So Peter's proclaiming that message, and the religious leaders don't like it. And they pull him in to a meeting among the religious leaders, and they're telling before Caiaphas and others, and they tell him to stop preaching about Jesus, stop teaching. They want to know first what happened with this crippled man and the healing that happened. They said, "By what power or by what name did you do this? How did this happen? Who are you serving?" is basically what they're saying. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, good point here. Let me stop for a minute. Peter was filled with the Spirit. It's another description of what it means to be Christian, to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, Don't worry about what to say on the day when the opportunity arises for you to speak the truth about who I am, or when you're dragged in front of leaders or those who oppose you. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit, my Spirit, will give you what you need. So the Lord wants us to have great confidence as we hear the story of Peter and his proclamation here. He said, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning the good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the apostolic proclamation, the kerygma. Peter simply declaring the facts. This man is healed. He was healed by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you killed, but that God raised from the dead. Peter goes on, he said, this is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's a beautiful summary. A summary it would be good to commit to memory, because this is what the church proclaims. This is the heart of her message. How is healing possible? How is restoration of life possible? How is eternal life possible? It's because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's in him alone. And this is what the church continues to preach today, despite what some people want to say. There are many pathways, there are many gods. Everybody has their own Messiah, their own Savior, their own religious pathway. Peter makes it clear, and the church believes this to this very day. There is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter makes it clear, we must be saved from the wrath to come, from the fallen, broken condition of the world and its death-directed destiny. We must be saved from that. And Peter said, who can save us? Where do we go? There is no other name. Buddha can't save us. Muhammad can't save us. Wall Street can't. Nobody can save us except Jesus Christ, the one in whom is the eternal life of God, the life of heaven, divine life, which is what we need. We're going to continue to take up this story tomorrow. But I want to encourage you to reflect on this. I'm going to just continue to make my way through some of these key passages as the week goes on. But put yourself in this situation. You're called to the same destiny, the same ministry of proclaiming the gospel to the world that Peter and the disciples that followed him were called to. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy. He communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.